stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we're really delighted that everyone's out there listening today. Brother Sam, what has the Lord put on your heart for us to get into in this episode?
Well, Kyle, it's good to be back together here on this Thursday morning. We are going to continue in Psalm 119.
Awesome.
And then after we do all this, then I'll probably head into work later today. Just to catch up on some things, you know, before the, you know, the new year. But yeah, it's always good to, you know, even on vacation and time off to be here spending time together, because Kyle, there isn't anything more important than what we're doing.
That's right.
And proclaiming truth, seeking to help others, experience the power of God, be free from sin, and live a glorious, victorious life in Christ.
Amen to that. Amen. Well, with that, I'm going to open us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, O Lord, for this day. We thank you, O Lord, for the sun that's shining and for the birds that are fed. Father, we thank you for this time together, for the truth of your word, for the time that we get the chance to just be uplifted by everything that we read, and Father, to share that with everyone that's out there listening. And as we do so, Lord, we pray that you protect them from any distractions, that you allow them to set aside some time to open their Bible, to follow along as we read through the wonderful, glorious truth of your Psalms. Father, we thank you again, and we pray that this bring glory to you and grow your kingdom. Father, we're so thankful, and in the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. All right, so in Psalm 119, we did part one. That covered verse 1 through verse 112. Part 2 will go from 113 to the end. So we are on now the letter S. Kyle, if you'll read verse 113 through to 120.
Yes. Samech. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law.
Now, Kyle, real quick, the double-minded man, I'm thinking about the double-minded man. I remember him from a book. Do you remember what book is coming to mind? The double-minded man? Who gets nothing from the Lord, but the perfect man who, right,
yeah,
counts
you're gonna,
all joy. So James. Yeah. James chapter 1.
I'm never good at the quizzes, so always have the answer ready when you see me looking around.
Yeah, so James chapter 1, you know, talked about, If the man is not the perfect man, but he lacks wisdom, then he's to ask to God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him.
That's right.
But then there's conditions.
A double-minded man is to expect nothing.
That's right. But he must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts
is double-minded
and should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. And then later on, it also uses double-minded in chapter 4. Where it talks about, one, God says what he jealously desires to dwell in us, mm-hmm. and it's his spirit.
Correct.
But he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then he says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And then he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Be miserable, mourn, and weep. Kyle, we can't have the two natures in us. We can't be the hot and the cold, the light and the dark. We can't be the people who call ourselves servants of the Most High God and yet, you know, worship, praise, and singing. We've done those episodes on, you know, Jesus when he said, right, in vain these people worship.
Yep.
And we went and looked at what that said in that episode.
Can't be a wheat and a tare.
That's right. And here you can't be double-minded. Matter of fact, the true man of God hates the double-minded.
That's right.
But what do they love, Kyle?
They love his law.
Amen.
You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God.
So this person wants to do what?
He wants to observe the commandments of God.
Observe the commandments of God. And we've done episodes right on the new commandment is the old commandment. We're to be doers of the law.
That's right, not merely hearers.
As it says in 1 John chapter 1, halfway through, right? The old commandment, or the new commandment is the old commandment, and that he's not writing to them an old commandment, but or a new commandment, the old commandment that they've had from the beginning, the word that they have heard.
Sustain me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me that I may be safe, that I may have regard for your statutes continually.
Continually.
Continually. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes.
So people, now this is interesting, right? Some people will come to God. They'll seek God. They'll pursue God. The problem is they don't keep his ways. God would say they wander from his ways. Kyle, what does God refer to the wanderer?
It equates it with deceitfulness, for their deceitfulness is useless.
See, God says, and that's funny, Kyle, and just as Jesus talked about with people come and worship, but they have a vain worship. Or Corinthians, we did the episode on 1 and 2 Corinthians, the things you didn't know about the Corinthian church in hindsight's 2020, looking at both of those books, and you know, talked about people who had a faith that could not save, a vain faith.
Mm-hmm.
They think they have a faith. Paul just points out God's word declares, your faith can't save you. A lot of people just assume that because they have a faith and a belief, or because they confess Jesus as Lord, that they're safe.
Yeah, there's a warning there, you know, to not reject his statutes.
So what does God do to the wicked, Kyle?
You have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments.
Kyle, there's a lot of people that do not have a reverent fear of God's judgment. Next.
To their own destruction, Sam.
Yep, this next letter.
Ain.
Verse 121 to 128.
I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors.
You know, you'll find that statement everywhere as you go through and you look at the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what does God require? To do justice, to do righteousness.
Yeah.
You find that in the, Isaiah, you find it in Ezekiel, you find it in, the Jeremiah. We did the episode on, the covenant in Christ explained, looking at the Old and the New Testament that comes from the book of Jeremiah that's repeated in the book of Hebrews. And you see that repeatedly. God wants us to be able to walk to do justice and righteousness.
That's right. And what always accompanies it? Usually there's oppression. Those that do righteousness and justice are usually oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word.
Amen.
Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies.
You know, it's good to ask God for understanding. But do people understand that when God gives understanding, it's so that we know his testimonies?
That's right.
And then we're able to keep and walk in those things?
It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way.
So you have a contrast to two people. Kyle, there's one group of people that continue to break the law. They can't seem to overcome the law.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it's implied that this person doesn't break the law. They love the commandments. And not only do they love the commandments, but again, this is the person that does justice. They do righteousness.
Yep.
And they hate every false way.
And they esteem those commandments above fine gold.
And you see these things and these principles repeated in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
And I guess, you know, it's interesting there. He says that he hates every false way. You know, folks that listen to the show that are regular viewers, they understand that oftentimes they'll hear harsh things talked about of the churches that are teaching falsehoods and half-truths. And folks, you got to understand that's coming from a fact that we ourselves were held in bondage to the false teachings and false truths. And we're just trying to share with you what we have learned from the full truth of God's word.
Well, and the Spirit of God speaks consistently. Old and New Testament, you'll see that. And that's another episode I still owe on that, with how God speaks to those who he considers as arguing or contending with the truth, and how God reasons with them. Yes. And we'll show those examples in Scripture, and you'll be able to know. Because if people are behaving differently, well, you have to question it. Yeah. But yeah, it's... That's how they walk. It's how they live. The next letter,
pay,
and that's verse 129 to verse 136.
Your testimonies are wonderful; therefore, my soul observes them.
Another doer.
The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple.
Amen.
I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments.
Wow, this person really likes the commandments of God.
Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me.
And Kyle, and that's the key. That's what God does in our life. Iniquity and sin won't have dominion over us. And it's not just from the standpoint of the eternal, you know, sentence of hell, you know, death, but it's the power of sin in our life currently with how we live.
That's right.
I like 1 John chapter 3, how it explains it, you know, with how we're to live.
Yeah, no darkness.
You know, and just to go through a couple of few verses from there. I'm thinking like verse 2 through verse 10. Or 3 through 10, but it talks about two people. First, it talks about everyone who is having this hope fixed on him, fixed on Christ, purifies himself, just as Jesus is pure. And everyone who commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared, Jesus, he appeared in order to take away sin. No one who abides in Jesus sins. No one who abides in Jesus sins.
Amen.
No one who sins has seen him or known him. Verse 7, little children, make sure no one deceives you. There's a lot of people out there in the world that are going to seek to deceive you. Not just seek, they don't even know. They deceive you while they're deceived, while they deceive you, and they don't even know they're deceived themselves. But you got to make sure no one's deceiving you. The one who practices righteousness. Remember the doer.
Yep.
The doer of righteousness. Not some magical cloak, but actually a changed life, a true encounter with God, is righteous just as he is righteous. But the one who still commits sin is of the devil. The devil is sin from the beginning. You know that Jesus appeared in order to destroy the works of the devil. No one who has been born of God commits sin, because he's been born of the seed of God. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. And that's because God's seed abides in him. He cannot sin because he has been born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. The one who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. And Kyle, when you look at those simple statements, it rings true here with what we're reading, as well as 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. But people will say, but I have come to know him. Well, he says in the next verse, if we say we have come to know him, but do not keep his commandments, we are a liar, and the truth is not in us. So it's just, God's consistent.
Yeah. And that definitely connects to Psalm 119, 133. You know, when we establish, our footsteps are established in His Word, iniquity will not have dominion over us.
Yep.
Now, verse 134 to the end. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts.
See, it's all about being a doer.
That's right. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law.
Because the other people aren't doers. They're just hearers, but they aren't doers. The next letter.
Sade.
Verse 137 to verse 144.
Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten your words.
You see, Kyle, they had the words.
Yeah.
They forgot them.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people think, oh, the wicked, the wicked. A lot of people don't realize much of the wicked that the Bible talks about, both Old and New Testament, are the wicked of those who are, quote, in the church, going to serve God, singing praises with their lips to God, but God says, it's vain, you worship me.
The very people who think they're the chosen.
The sacrifice is in vain. The offerings are in vain.
That's right. Oh, and our zeal has consumed us with that. Okay, verse 140. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is as an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth.
Remember, Jesus said he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law.
That's right.
And that the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is he who keeps the law and teaches others to do the same.
That's right.
That's in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5.
That's right. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight.
Commandments are a delight.
Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live.
If we don't get this understanding, Kyle, then
live.
No one's going to live.
That's right.
The next letter.
The letter Kaf.
And that's going to be verse 145 to verse 152.
I cried with all my heart. Answer me, O Lord.
Where are they crying from?
From all their heart.
All their heart. And what's the result?
They will observe your statutes.
Observe God's statutes.
I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies.
Being the doer.
That's right. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word.
He actually anticipates the night watches.
Yeah.
So that he can meditate on God's word.
Yeah, it's funny because that's about the time of the evening when the family has settled down and folks have gone to their own thing, and it's sun setting. It's nice and quiet, a great place to open the word of God and meditate on it. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances.
Now, a lot of people say, see, it's all about God's loving kindness. That's why it's not about me. Well, a lot of people don't know the loving kindness of God. If you go do a study of that and you look at it in the, you know, as God speaks and proclaims it, many times what you find is God's loving kindness endures forever to those who love God and keep his commandments.
Right.
If you don't keep his commandments, you don't love God. Also, a lot of people have a false understanding of what it means to love. Now, we did a 4-part episode on love, starting with love, the greatest commandment. And as you go through and you look at love, loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, as God defines it, as we go through both Old and New Testament scripture, it's you no longer sin against your neighbor and you don't sin against God. You see, that is what it means to come into the loving kindness of God.
Verse 150, those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from your law.
You see, Kyle, and it's much today. Do you know how many people go to church every week to draw near to God?
Yep.
You see, Kyle, many people today, just as then, they draw near to God, But the problem is,
they're far from his law.
They're far from his law. And God still calls them wicked. Even though they're drawing near, God says they're wicked.
You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever.
Amen. You know, it all goes back to God's commandments. They are truth.
Yep.
And for this person, God is near to them because they're the doer, not the forgetful here.
That's right.
Who deceives themselves, that you read about in James chapter 1, I think it's verse 22.
Yep. And even in Romans, Paul talked to folks to be doers, not merely hearers. Look upon my... Oh, the next set.
So the next letter.
Resh.
And that's going to be verse 153 to verse 160.
Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law.
So you see here, God will rescue a certain people, but the people he's going to rescue are the people who don't forget his law.
That's right. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word.
God's word, it's not man's way. It's going to be what God's word says.
Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes.
Now, this is an interesting one, because a lot of people say, you see, so I have salvation because I do seek God's statutes. Well, Kyle, the other thing is you keep reading also in the Old Testament and in the New, if you don't seek him with all your heart, well, then you'll be destroyed as well. We covered many of the people in Israel, those passages, I think of Isaiah chapter 58, you know, they delighted in the nearness of God. They read the word.
Yeah.
They prayed. They fasted. They considered themselves a people that walked in righteousness. All these wonderful statements. And God says they're still in darkness.
Yeah.
Because they still had sin. They still had evil in their life.
And what comes to mind also is the parable of the virgins. You know, folks that there's going to be folks that come pounding on the door proclaiming, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, depart from me, you doers of iniquity.
Yep. And so people are seeking, just as when Jesus says, people who confess him as Lord.
That's right.
There are people that seek God. They'll confess Jesus as Lord. They'll read their Bible. They go to church. But it doesn't matter.
They're not ready for this.
If God still considers you as wicked because you still have sin in your life, because you haven't been cleansed from all sin, the Spirit of God hasn't crucified the old man and made you alive anew in the power of the deity of God, all the fullness that's supposed to be now dwelling in you, so you walk and live by the power of God and not the weakness of man. Well, you can seek God all you want,
that's right.
But it's not seeking him as those who are the righteous. It's you're still seeking him as wicked, and you never were changed.
That's
well,
right.
The wicked that never gets changed gets cast into hell.
That's right. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. That's verse 155. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them, because they do not keep your word.
They aren't a doer.
Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth.
Amen.
And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting.
Amen. Kyle, there's a lot of people that just don't know the full truth of God. They don't know the story. They don't know the context. Because they haven't read and meditated on the full book.
On the sum of it, just as it's mentioned there. Every one of his righteous ordinances is everlasting. They were not done away with.
Nope. Next letter.
The letter Shin.
That's going to be verse 161 to verse 168.
Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble.
How much stumbling?
None.
None.
No stumbling. For those who love your law, they have a great peace. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments.
You know, it's kind of like what Jesus said when he was asked several times, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Keep the commandments.
He said, well, what's written in the law? Keep the commandments. You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Or he came out correctly or directly on one occasion. He said, keep the commandments. When he asked, you know, what must I do to obtain eternal life? And the same thing here. I hope for your salvation. And what does this person does? He does the commandments of God. He's a doer. Now, some people may be thinking, oh, I'm trying to proclaim it's all about works. No, absolutely not. It all starts with faith. It has to start with faith because that's the only way to receive power. You see, you have to be converted to the new man, the man full of all the deity of God, the Holy Spirit. Until you're born again, you can't walk in light as God is light.
And you can't fulfill the commandments without the Spirit. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you.
Amen.
That's for sure. The Lord knows every path that you've ever taken. He knows it all.
You see how consistent God is with a message, Kyle?
Yeah.
But yet, how much of this do you have being proclaimed in the churches today?
Sam, it's sad. It's truly sad.
Next letter.
Tav.
Verse 169 to 176 to end the chapter.
Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word.
The people who are listening, what understanding do you want? Do you want understanding that continues to justify that the life that you're on is currently a righteous, holy life that's pleasing to God that results in eternal life and salvation? Or do you want to know the truth of what God says? You know, for many people who are listening, again, Kyle, I look at myself and all the people that I know today that you know,
yeah,
who continue to live a life convinced in their mind that they have peace with God. We have to be willing to humble ourselves to let God speak into our life and speak against any falsehood that's in it. If we continue to take the word of God and twist and convert everything to justify your life as proving that you're a Christian, and many of the people, you know, many of you who are listening might be in that boat. Some of you who are listening have escaped that, are now in the truth, and you can identify and see this as a struggle that many of your friends or other people who go to church are still struggling with. To pray for them. Pray for them that God will humble their heart, that they'll admit that just maybe they don't have the full understanding in accordance with God's word. If their salvation and their hope rests on a few verses here or there, and they can't explain the context of why the book was written, and you ask them, or you ask yourself, why was the book of John written? Or what is the point of the book of Ephesians or the book of Romans? What's the narrative? What is the gospel message that Peter talks about in the book of 1 Peter or the book of 2 Peter? How does he make his argument, or how does God make God's own argument through the apostle as you go through from verse 1 to the last verse of the book? If you can't lay out that narrative, then how are you so confident, or the people who are opposing you, that they fully understand or taking into context God's word? But sadly, most people don't have the patience or the time to meditate on God's word in totality, to understand the story of the book, and to make sure that it's all in harmony. Next verse, 170.
Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness.
Amen.
Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight.
You see, his statutes, his word, his precepts, his law,
his testimony,
it's all the same.
Yep.
You cannot separate them. Verse 175.
Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments.
And that's one of the nice things that we have. If you wander, there's a danger, there's a warning. But if you go astray, or somehow one does go astray, God will seek to turn you back. But there's a danger if you don't turn back that you'll be destroyed. You know, one of the passages that comes to mind at the end of James, James talks about if you go to a brother who somehow got caught in a sin and you turn him, you'll save his soul from death. I think it's chapter 5, verse 19. Earlier in that, it talks about a brother who might be sick because of a sin in their life. God does bring judgment upon people for their sin. And it says, go to the prayer, the elders and have them pray for you. The prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much, and it can save them. And that's some of the background above.
That's right. And you were exactly right on that. It was James 5, 19 to 20, about the man who helps a brother turn back from sin.
And so it's, God's a loving God. His work, his word does a work in our life. It allows us to now live a life of holiness and godliness. There's always the danger and the possibility that somebody can turn away. But there's a danger that if you do turn away and you don't endure the end, that you'll lose the salvation of your soul. You know, we covered much more of that in Once Saved, Always Saved episode that we did. And it's Once Saved, Always Saved. It depends, God says, if you endure to the end.
That's right.
And you can listen to that. So there's a lot of main truths as you go through the Word of God. And there's always, exceptions. There you'll find passages where it says, well, it's impossible. Nobody can snatch them out of the Father's hand. You're right. Nobody else can. But God can throw you out. You can be spit out of the mouth of Christ. You can be broken off as a branch. The Father does that. Nobody else has authority to spit you out. Nobody else has authority to break you off or to cast you out. But
you have to endure. God
does, and his ways do. It's and that's one of the things that people need to realize. It's between us and God. And we should have a reverent fear of God.
That's right.
And also an exceedingly great joy when God frees you and comes into your life and sets you free from all things. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is good. I pray, O God, that your word is a blessing to people, that it leads them into the ways of truth, and that it touches their heart and speaks to them the words that you want spoken deep into their heart. We thank you, O God, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.